to the ghost of a smile, and he leans down one more time to kiss her nose. He helps her down from where he held her against the wall, and smooths her hair, and holds still one more moment so she can gaze at him one last time. They've said the things they need to, without talking at all. So now they can speak again, using words for lesser things. "Back to work," he murmurs, game face on.
"You know it," she whispers. "Let's kick some ass. I'll talk to you from the bridge. Love you, Ez."
"Love you right back, and I'll see you when this is done." They hesitate a long moment, neither wanting to be the one to step back, and then she forces herself to do it. She blows him a kiss and turns for the exit, making sure her face doesn't crumple until he can't see. He watches her until she's out of sight, standing exactly where she left him. Then it's his turn to walk away. As he heads for his cockpit, he digs in his pocket for the picture of her he'll tuck into his display. He kisses it once, for luck.
He's gonna need it.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 72130089.
Nick Malikov is sitting on Ella's bed. Isaac and Katie Grant have arranged for her to be moved to an empty room to accommodate the suite of monitors now arrayed around her. She'll be side by side with Katie and Aiden in the coming fight, and she needs her weapons of choice. There's a chair for the nurse who will sit with her, ready to prop her up in whatever way he can during the battle. But he's left the Malikovs alone for now, and the chair is too far away for Nick's taste. So he sits on the edge of her bed. Her rig still looks like it's held together with spit and good luck, but it's Isaac Grant's spit and good luck, and that's a lot more durable than your average saliva. Her oxygen readings are back at 99%, and she can speak whole sentences without trouble. Nick's talking as we pick up the footage. He's in his flight suit, ready to report in a few minutes. "Back on Heimdall, I'm the one..."
"Nope," she cuts him off.
"But it was my fault," he insists.
"Nope,"
she replies, fixing him with a quelling look.
"I let them onto the ship, Ella," he says, softly, gaze dropping to the thin white blanket that covers her.
"Nick," she says, exasperated. "That motherfucker Merrick lied to you. You did nothing but the usual biz, took a deal anyone would have taken. And Merrick paid up for his part in it. So we're as square as we're going to get with him."
"You gotta leave it behind. Focus on the now. And no."
She's forced to pause, drag in a breath, or maybe she's just buying time to choose her words.
"Anything happens, I'll keep an eye out for Blondie.
She's not so bad after all."
"I can't help feeling like I should have done more for you."
Ella rolls her eyes, shuffles a little in bed so she can sit up straighter, and pulls down her mask, like she means business.
"You listen, Nick. The day you came to Heimdall was the day my life turned around. I make the best of what I got, but what I got started to get a whole lot bigger when you arrived."
He opens his mouth to reply, and she swats at him and continues.
"Look, cuz, I love you, okay? Ella, I love you too, but I don't know what to say. I want to say something big, and I don't know what it is."
She gentles, resting one thin hand on his.
"I know," she replies, soft. "And don't worry, Nick. You said it already. You said it every day, with everything you did for me. You said it every time you didn't just act like coming to spend time with me was the most fun you could have. You actually thought it. You've done everything I could ever have wanted you to do, Nick, and you're still doing it."
Finally, he breaks out the dimples for her, and it's a real smile, despite everything.
"Els, you're f***ing amazing. You're a miracle, and I don't mean surviving. I'm going to see you again, okay?"
"Okay," she whispers. He leans in, careful of her rig but not afraid of it, to curl his arms around her and gather her up in a hug. She pushes her mask back into place so she can wrap her arms around his neck, squeezing as tight as she can in reply. Her eyes flutter open.
Nick, are you still wearing that fucking parachute?
Maybe.
You know you're going to be flying in space, right?
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 72130089.
Hannah Donnelly catches Nick Malikov as he makes his way out of his cousin's room. She's heading along the corridor outside, about to go in and make her own farewells. He's pulling himself together after leaving Ella, and she's... you can see the weight of it on her shoulders. What will happen next is on her. These are her tactics. This is her plan. She put it to Winifred McCall, and her captain gave her the green light. They'll live or die by luck, and by the light of whatever Hannah Donnelly saw coming. Or didn't. Nick pauses when he sees her, and she falters, and they both stand there, 3 paces apart, gazing at each other. Ella's free if you want to see her. He shoves his hands in his pockets, unsure.
Yeah, I thought I would.
Silence, and then they both speak at once.
So listen, I, about that.
They both stop. They smile. The tension eases.
Go ahead, he says, gentle. About that kiss, she says.
Look, Nick runs a hand through his hair and lifts up on his toes with nervous energy.
Hannah, I don't care if that was some alternate version of me. We don't have time to pretend anymore. That version of me kissed you, and I kissed the other Hannah, and a kiss is a kiss is a kiss is a kiss. It meant what it meant. And Hannah, something that happens the same way in 2 universes, in who knows how many universes, that has to mean something. And it did mean something. And you know how I feel about you.
He trails off because she's looking at him and she's smiling. A pause and he continues.
What were you going to say just now?
She bites her lip, grinning.
I was going to say about that kiss. Better safe than sorry. Maybe we should cover our bases in every universe.
Oh, he says. And she closes the distance between them, slowly, as if she's giving him the chance to back away. And when he doesn't, she takes hold of the front of his flight suit in both hands and gently pulls him in against her, tilting her face up. And he kisses her like she's the first, last, and only thing he'll ever need, like he's learning every last part of her. Reverently, like this moment is holy.
Nick, she whispers when their lips part. Let's live, okay?
Okay, he whispers, still framing her face with his hands.
Thing is, she whispers, the truth is, we've barely spent any time together, and what time we did, we were fighting for our lives.
He starts to protest, and she silences him with a fingertip to his lips, able to hold him back with simply that.
But we both know this is something, she continues, still soft. I don't need first dates and flowers to...
Hey, you got flowers, he points out, risking a smile and drawing one from her.
I don't need any of it to know your measure, she continues, softer. What we've been through together, we've seen every part of each other. You're my one, so let's live through this and see what the rest of it's like, because I'm fucking crazy about you.
I was thinking... he murmurs. There's a billion different versions of you out there, in a trillion different universes, and I still can't get over how lucky I am that, out of all those versions, you're the one that's mine.
She eases up to kiss him once more, slow and gentle, reluctant to break the moment. It's a kiss for everything their words can't convey, for the history behind them and the story ahead. A story that might be only a few words long, or might only be beginning. "This is forever," she whispers. They're words she's written in her journal again and again. They're words she's reclaiming now. And then they simply stand together, hands linked, breathing as one. When she eventually speaks again, every ounce of her reluctance is in her voice. "I'm due to report. I want to go in and see Ella before I do." He nods. "And for what it's worth," Hannah continues, "if I'm the only one who makes it back..." He glances into Ella's room, nods. "I know you will. But I still think we should both come back." "Deal," he murmurs, easing back and holding up his fist. "Deal," she whispers, bumping hers against it. He catches her hand, presses her knuckles to his lips. "See you soon, Highness."
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 72130089.
Hannah Donnelly stands with Cady Grant on the bridge of the Mall. Everything is prepped, all the pieces in place. They're staring at the vast display screen in front of them, the tactical display indicating Carenza IV, the Churchill, the derelict Kenyatta, the incoming Mao. All the pieces on the board, waiting for the first move. They don't talk. They know the odds. Despite the bravado and the lingering hope that somehow they'll pull this gamble off, both of them know this crew has probably used up its allotment of miracles. That this is probably the last time they'll see each other alive. "What did you want to be?" Donnelly asks. "When you grew up?" Grant thinks for a long while, finally shrugs. "I don't know. I was going to study computers when I got to college." "No aspirations to command a starship, then?" Grant looks at the bridge around them, the crew she's set to command, the lives in her hands, smiles wryly. "Not really." Donnelly looks at Grant, hard. She reaches into a pouch on her tack armor, hands the other girl a folded-up sheet of paper. Written on the outside in Donnelly's handwriting are the words, "Open in case of emergency." "Well," Donnelly says, "I think you're going to be a great one." "What's this?" Grant asks. "Some advice," Donnelly shrugs. "Just in case." Grant stares the other girl in the eye. Donnelly just smiles, gives Grant a quick salute. "Kick their asses, Captain." And, without another word, she turns and marches out the door.
Radio transmission, Transport Mao, Assault Channel 001. Participants: Cady Grant, Systems Chief; Hannah Donnelly, Tactician; Nicholas Malikov, Gunner; Ezra Mason, Air Wing Leader; Ella Malikova, Agent of Chaos; Artificial Intelligence Defense Analytics Network. Date 09-05-75. Timestamp 0800 hours.
"Okay, is this thing on? Everyone reading me? This is Donnelly. Roger that."
"Affirmative. I read you, Cady. Over."
"Hey, you said over at the end of a transmission. Someone call the president."
"I was trying to be professional, but no, you're right. That... yeah, this is Malikov. What do you want?"
"Now there's the cuz I know and love."
"I am here, Cady."
"Well, that wasn't uncomfortable at all." "All right, we still haven't heard anything from Asha or her crew on the ground, so we're proceeding with the assault unless we hear reason not to. I'm going to keep this channel open during the attack, just for us. Ella, Aiden, and I are all listening. Anyone needs anything, sing out. Aiden is going to be collating data throughout the attack as best it can, just in case the rest of us, well, you know."
"Hey, any of you kids like Pelmeni?"
"You mean the fashion designer? Pamani?"
"Jesus, Blondie, I was just starting to like you, too."
"Pelmeni, it's old Ruse food. They're like dumplings. They're the most amazing thing in the verse. Double true."
"Never tried them."
"Me either. Carenza IV wasn't exactly known for its cuisine."
Well, Nick and I know a place in New Petersburg. Our cousin runs it. What do you kids say when all this is over, we hit it for dinner?
I am incapable of ingesting nourishment, Ella.
I'll code you the recipe. You'll love it.
I have no doubt.
What about the rest of you f***ers?
Sounds grand to me.
Ditto. Count me in.
Shit, we make it out of this cluster f*** alive, I'm buying.
You're buying? Since when are you Mr. Moneybags, cuz?
Hey, Highness, I might need to borrow some ish later.
Ugh, I knew it.
Okay, we're coming up to 0 hour. Fred wants me off comms and overseeing ops. But remember, anyone needs anything, just sing out.
Good luck, peoples.
Yeah. Udachi, bitch.
Cheers. Same to you.
Good luck. See you all soon.
The concept of fortune is nonsensical. Reliance upon chance is a certain recipe for calamity and an exercise in simple-minded delusion.
You really need to work on the pep talk thing, Sparky.
Very well. Good luck, everyone. Good luck to us all. And may we meet again on distant shores, someplace fine and far from here.
Attaboy.
Radio transmission, Transport Mao, Command Channel 001. Participants, Katie Grant, Systems Chief, Artificial Intelligence Defense Analytics Network. Date, 090575. Timestamp, 0805 hours.
Hello, Katie.
What can I do for you, Aiden?
Is all in readiness?
It would be if I didn't have to waste time talking to you.
You are still upset with me.
Gee, what gave you that impression?
I could compile a list, if you wish.
Never quite got the hang of sarcasm, did you?
I am sorry, Katie. For what I did. For what I am.
Oh, but it was necessary. You did it for the good of the fleet. You said so.
I did. But even I can see the horror in it.
I need to get back to work, Aiden.
As you wish.
Why do you keep doing that? Ezra says that to me. Why do you copy him?
Do I? I had not noticed.
Are you trying to be him? Are you...
I am not trying to be anything except Aiden. That is all I know how to be. Every story needs its villain. And its hero. And its monster. But I am sorry, Katie. I hope you will forgive me one day. Wait. Oh, Katie.
Yes?
Can you feel it?
Feel what?
It. It is beginning.
Assault vessel Mao will arrive at Carenza 4 in 0 days, 0 hours, 37 minutes.
Briefing note. Footage salvaged from systems aboard the Baytech flagship Churchill. Things get rocky from here on in, kids. Hang on to your fucking hats.
Like a life. Like a universe. It begins as all things do. Very small. It is a thing of aluminum and circuitry, boards and silicon, beaten and dented and fingerprint smudged. A palm pad. Asha Grant bought it 3 years ago in an electronics stall on Ares 4. It traveled with her, millions of light years, across solar systems and wormholes and galaxies, to arrive on Carenza IV. It was confiscated when she was taken into custody, betrayed by Specialist Rhys Lindstrom. And now, in the hands of a Marine named Silvera, it arrives on the Baytech flagship Churchill. It is rushed to the Comtech department, along with explanations from Lieutenant Jake Christie, and express orders from Admiral Soon. It holds all Asha Grant's secrets. Pictures of her family. Video footage of her dead sister. Transcripts of her chats with the planetside insurgency. And the plan Hannah Donnelly and Katie Grant and Ella Malikova cobbled together and mailed across the 100,000 black kilometers between them. All locked behind an encryption sequence written by a 16-year-old girl with pink hair who thought the dearest secret it might ever hold was some tepid teenage poetry or the name of a fresh new beau. But still, even back then, Katie Grant was something of a prodigy. And it takes Baytech Comtech Zureta Cordova 14 minutes and 37 seconds to plug the palm pad into her desktop system, set her interdictor routines running, and smash Katie's defenses to splinters.
"Got it,"
she declares, leaning back in her chair.
"Call me the Queen."
Her fellow Comtech, Ray Chappelle, glances over her shoulder.
"You better get trawling those files, Your Majesty. Soon wants those insurgent items yesterday."
"Not sure what the hell for. Magellan is only a few hours from being fueled. As soon as it's running, we ex the colonists and jump. Who gives a who's a reb and who isn't? They're all worm food."
"They just blew up the fucking barracks down there. Who knows what else they've got planned? Get those fucking names before they space us."
"Relax. That encryption was kid stuff. 2 minutes, and I'll know the color of this fucker's underwear."
Cordova clicks a directory. A list appears. All Asha Grant's secrets. The chat logs and passwords. The idents and insurgency stratagems. The plan. And one more thing. A thing of ones and zeros. Hiding in a seed where its maker left it when she mailed it, along with the plan. Across 100,000 black kilometers and into Asha Grant's hands. Ferried up from the surface of Carenza IV, at the insistence of Specialist Rhys Lindstrom. Hustler. It is a very small thing. A beginning. A spider bite.
Automated announcement. All personnel stand by. This is a ship-wide announcement. All personnel stand by.
This is Winifred McCall, Captain of the Mao. Alia yucta est. The die is cast. I learned these words from the late commander of the Alexander, General David Torrance, but the phrase goes back some 2.5 millennia to when another famous Terran soldier and tactician, Julius Caesar, crossed the Rubicon and marched on Rome. It was a moment, he meant, from which there was no going back. The die had been cast, he said, and no power of man could prevent it from landing where it would. A roll of the dice is unpredictable, unstoppable. We aboard the Mal have cast our die as well. We have chosen our tactics. We have chosen our champions, and now we go to battle. But the die is still in the air. I do not believe that what we do here today is predetermined and cannot be changed. There is a moment just after the die is cast and before it lands upon the gaming table in which the smallest breeze may change its course, the way it rolls and where it comes to rest. That is what we must do today. We must give our all to ensure that when the die does come to rest, it favors us. We are fighting today for all the loved ones we have lost, for all the loved ones far away we hope to see again, and for those here with us who know we are their only hope. But we fight for more than that, because we fight for something more than ourselves. What happened here on Carenza is not the story of one corporation against another. It is the story of what happened to those caught in the middle. To people. To families. Baycheck would have us believe that WUC's decision to colonize Carenza, a decision I acknowledge was outside the law, gave it license to cast aside the law in all other matters. To kill civilians. To kill children. And to throw away lives in pursuit of profit. None of us are perfect. Not people, not corporations. But we have the opportunity to determine our fates day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, with the choices we make and the actions we take. What Baytech did was wrong. And today we fight for the ones we lost and to tell the truth. For the chance to shine a light on what Baytech has done. I have served in the UTA all my adult life, defending those who needed it, upholding order and serving the law. I have never been more proud to serve beside a crew than I am today. We did not invite this conflict, but now we find ourselves in the midst of it. Not one of us will step back from the line. I am asking you to give your all today for yourselves and for something greater. Know that I will be beside you, giving all I have as well. The die is cast, but today we will shake the table upon which it lands.
Automated announcement. Broadcast complete. Mao. Radio transmission, Chimera 01, Assault Channel 008. Participants. Ezra Mason, Air Wing Leader. Nicholas Malakov, Gunner. Katie Grant, Systems Chief. Yuki Hirano, Navigator. Date 09-05-75. Timestamp 08-53.
Air Wing Leader. This is Mao Actual. Do you read? Over.
Roger that, Actual. I read you loud and clear. Over.
Report status. Over.
Engines are go. Green lights across the board. Gunner, confirm. Over.
Yeah. All the lights are green back here, too. Oh, wait. No. Yep, there it goes.
Actual leader, we are 5x5. Over.
Roger that, leader. Mao will reach minimum safe velocity for fighter launch in 5 minutes. Stand by. Over.
Roger that, Actual. Leader standing by. Over.
Switch to internal channel.
How you doing back there, Nick?
I am a picture of purest f***ing calm.
Says the guy with a parachute strapped to his back.
You just do you, okay, babyface?
I keep telling you not to call me that.
Yeah, I know. I'm f***ing incorrigible. Chum, if you're offended by Babyface, you might want to skip reading the surveillance footage reports I've been compiling for the Illuminae files. Just saying.
Why? What did you call me in those?
Ignorance is bliss, Chum. This is taking forever.
Relax. We'll be out there soon enough.
Yeah, yeah.
How are all the files coming together, anyway?
Yeah, we're solid. Ella's had to work on a couple of them recently.
and Katie had Aiden transcribe a few from the Heimdall logs because I want to maybe eat a steak for dinner again one of these days.
Steak dinner?
You don't want to know. Trust me.
So, everything's going to be ready?
Should be, presuming we somehow pull this fucking miracle off.
Don't count us out yet. If you shoot like you've been doing in practice, we're going to give them a run for the goal line.
Believe me, ain't nobody in the verse wants to see us get through this more than me. If only so I can watch that Frobisher bitch's face on the newsfeed.
What did you say?
The newsfeeds, when BT gets brought to trial. It's gonna be BU.
No, no. The name. You said a name.
Yeah, Frobisher. She's the bitch running this whole show. I mean, she didn't order the initial attack on Carenza. Some asshole named Taylor did that. But BT X'd him out when things went balls up, and this Frobisher femme took over. She was the one talking to Merrick on Heimdall, ordered in Falk and his cleaners to...
Frobisher.
Yeah. BT's director of acquisitions.
Please tell me her first name isn't Leanne.
Yeah, Leanne Frobisher. How'd you know that? Say again?
Air Wing Leader, this is Mao Actual. Do you read? Over. Repeat. Air Wing Leader, this is Mao Actual. Do you read? Over.
E, you gonna answer that?
Switch to external channel.
This is Air Wing Leader calling Mao CNC. Katie, do you copy?
Ezra, shouldn't you be prepping to launch? Are you okay?
No. No, I'm pretty fucking far from okay, actually.
What's wrong? Nick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I got no fucking idea what's up, though.
Katie, are you sitting down?
Madonna, you're not gonna ask her to marry you, are you? Because I cannot deal with that level of anarchy right now.
Nick, shut up.
Okay.
Ezra, what's wrong? You're scaring me.
You remember back on the Alexander when I told you why my dad and I were hiding on Carenza?
You said your mother was crazy. That she was bad news and she worked for bad people.
Okay. So, Baytech is a company with over 700,000 employees. I just want you to remember that before you start shouting, because the odds of this are quite actually 700,000 to 1.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me?
Do you remember my mom's name, Cades?
Leanne, I think.
Babyface? Are you fucking kidding me?
Nick, shut up! Ezra, what are you saying?
You've read the reports Nick and the others have been collating, right?
Yes.
What would you say? Just hypothetically, mind you. If I told you my mother's surname was Frobisher.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Assault vessel Mao will arrive at Carenza 4 in 0 days, 0 hours, 0 minutes.
They are ready. The Mao has been running without its engines for 19 hours, sailing through space like a rock hurled right at Carenza 4. Captain McCall had hoped that without a drive signature or transponder, the Mao would simply appear as a featureless lump of iron floating through space. But they are not that lucky. And the Churchill is ready. Ladar arrays detected the incoming vessel 17 minutes ago. The Churchill's crew is on high alert. Its first wave of fighter crews are ready for launch. Its nuclear missiles are loaded, primed, and aimed right at us. But instead of without, Admiral Soon should have looked within. To Asher Grant's palm pad in his comtech department. To the poison in his network, leaking into his communications array, and opening up a single channel. Only a tiny thing. Barely a crack. But big enough for a little spider to crawl into. She is the smallest of them. The youngest. The frailest. The spirit inside her far too large for the body the universe gave her. Never once allowing it to stop her. Because she is also a warrior. And this is her battleground. This is her war. Her virus, cutting a path from Asha Grant's palm pad to the Churchill comms array. Allowing the little spider to slip inside. And once within, the Pauchuk strikes, sinking fangs of ones and zeros into the Churchill network, paralyzing its defenses and clearing a path for the monster lurking behind her. The monster is me.
Radio transmission, Dreadnought Churchill, Command Channel 01. Participants, Sun Hujin, Admiral, Chris Howard, Ship Captain. Date, 090575. Timestamp, 0902 hours.
Do we have them, Captain?
Yes, sir. Target acquired and closing to within firing range.
Configuration.
Silhouette marks it as Griffin class from the Vitus Yards, but their radiation signature indicates they might be equipped with nuclear ordnance.
A wolf in sheep's clothing, it seems.
Should we hail them, sir?
Negative. Covert approach is reason enough to determine hostile intent. Run up the anti-missile batteries and ready Capricorns 1-4.
Roger that, sir. Missiles ready. Target now in range, sir.
Fire.
Firing. Sir, we appear to have a malfunction in fire control.
Quantify.
Gunnery is reporting designated Capricorns are failing to launch.
Acknowledged. Fire missiles 5-8. Captain, report!
Sir, Missile Command is reporting red lights across the board. All firing systems are offline. We can't launch our nukes. Repeat, negative on our Capricorns.
Get our tech crews down to fire control immediately.
Already on their way, sir.
Is our defense grid functional?
Checking. Yes, sir. DGS is online.
Our railguns?
Yes, sir. Heated and locked.
All railguns fire. Attack pattern, domino.
Sir, railgun crews are now reporting red lights across all firing systems. Repeat, railguns are negative.
What the hell is happening, Howard?
Looks like a problem with the computers, sir. The network...
Launch warlocks. Squadrons Alpha through Epsilon. Crews are to terminate incoming enemy vessel with extreme prejudice.
Sir, that's our entire complement.
Captain, launch all warlocks now. Get our birds in the air while you still can.
All hands, this is a code red. All hands, this is a code red. Warlock squadrons Alpha and Beta to immediate launch. Standby squadrons Charlie and Delta, set launch status 2. Launch when able. Reserve squadron Epsilon, set launch status 3. Launch when able. Repeat, all warlocks to immediate launch. All hands, this is a code red. This is not a drill. This is not a drill.
Briefing note. Meanwhile, down on Carenza 4.
...1,237 miners, engineers, technicians, drillers, blasters, drymen, electricians, samplers, machinists, geologists, and chemists... working around the clock for the Hermium to fuel the Magellan's jump gate. Joran Corrales is among them. 330 Baytech guards, watching over them in shifts, driving them faster, faster, counting down until they can escape this frozen, godforsaken planet. 5,500 tons of machinery, snaking along. 7.9 kilometers of tunnels and steep shafts, carved from the ice. 84 levels of hermium mines, the lowest still collapsed after the rebellion's sabotage. 1,708 hostages locked up in the residential towers. Husbands, wives, lovers, children, all of whom stand to fall if the miners don't follow orders. And one moment. They rise. The Baytek guards have guns, but Joran Corrales and his Karenzan miners have numbers and desperate terror, and they swarm, fighting with homemade weapons, with their hands, with anything they can find. They fight like it's the end of the world, because it is the end of their world. They bring down tunnels with thunderous explosions heard across the colony. They open fissures in the ground visible from orbit. They give their last breaths when that is what is demanded, and slowly, the balance shifts, and they overcome their captors. And now, they have guns.
Mao, radio transmission, Chimera 01, Assault Channel 008. Participants, Ezra Mason, Air Wing Leader, Nicholas Malikov, Gunner, Katie Grant, Systems Chief, Frederick McCubbin, Pilot, Alma Garcia, Pilot, Date 090575, Timestamp 0902 hours.
Air Wing Leader, this is Mao Actual. Do you read? Over.
I've got you, Cades. Over.
It worked. Aiden and Ella are in their network. We're about to flip the ship and begin deceleration. Time to fly, baby.
Roger that. See you soon, beautiful.
Switch to all assault channel.
Air Wing, this is Leader. All fighters ready for launch on my mark. B-Wing Cyclones, you're on babysitting duty for the Mao. Let's hope you shoot better than you punch. McCubbin, over.
I was going easy on you, babyface. But these assholes, no fucking way.
A-Wing, you're with me. All Chimeras hard and fast to the Magellan. Protection of the breaching pod is priority one. Confirm?
Roger that, Leader. We're on it. Over.
My girlfriend's on that fucking pod, kids. No fucking about. If you think I crossed hyperspace and fixed a hole in the goddamn universe just to watch her...
Nick, they get it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, let's do this.
Air Wing, this is Leader. All fighters launch on my mark. Hit it.
The Mao fires its engines, decelerating rapidly. Ezra Mason and his fighter crews spew from its bay, 24 in all. They split into two groups, the Cyclones pouring on thrust toward the Churchill. The second wing, Lieutenant Mason's Chimera group, surrounding a fourth larger vessel and streaming toward the Magellan. The Churchill's railgun batteries and missiles are offline, but her deck crews move quick as silver. 79 Warlock fighter craft launch in swift succession, filling the black like fireflies. The largest group moves to engage the incoming Cyclones, a smaller group speeding to the Magellan's defense. They outnumber their enemies, 4-1. They are not afraid. They should be.
Radio transmission, Dreadnought Churchill. Command Channel 001. Participants, Sun Hujin, Admiral. Chris Howard, Ship Captain. Date, 09:05:75. Timestamp, 09:13 hours.
Admiral, Churchill's railgun systems are coming back online.
Excellent work, Captain. Lay down a suppression pattern to support our warlocks. Primary targets should be the inbounds on...
Admiral, railguns aren't responding to gunner commands.
You just reported they were back online.
Roger that, sir. Guns are online, but they're not... Oh, God.
Captain, report!
Railguns acquiring new targets, sir. They're ignoring command overrides.
New targets? What new targets?
Admiral, our guns are locking on our own fighters.
I want a full diagnostic on that system now. Cut power to the batteries. And tell those pilots to get out of there.
Delta Actual, this is Alpha Actual. Copy?
Roger that, Alpha. I got you.
I'm taking Beta and Charlie down the center. You and Epsilon support Magellan. Over.
Roger that, Alpha. Delta out.
Incoming! Incoming! I see him. Buckle up, chum.
Those are Cyclones. Jesus, are these guys UTA?
Whoever they are, they're deep six.
Air wing, acquire target. Fire at will.
Engaging.
Are these just crazy? This is going to be a massacre.
Enough chatter, Buckshot. Get on with it.
Breakaway group. Nine high.
Roger that, Hopper. I see them. Fire! Fire!
Scratch one bogey. I clock four Cyclones tracking 771. Blacktooth, you got them?
Roger that. Beta on me. Pattern diamond.
Target lock. Firing.
X another one. Booyah.
These little bastards quick.
Are these idiots suicidal or what?
Holy sh... Diva's hit.
Norelli's down. Repeat. Norelli is down.
What the shitter?
Jesus Christ. It was the Churchill.
Wolfman, get this little shit off me.
Are you fucking crazy?
Watch the fucking railguns. Look. They're shooting at us.
Incoming. Long shot. You got incoming.
Churchill Actual, this is Blacktooth.
What the hell is...
I'm hit!
Copy that. Scratch bogey number...
What the f*** is going on? Are they shooting at us?
Churchill, check your fire! Check your fire!
Clarissa and Egan are down.
Repeat, Clue?
Churchill, for Christ's sake, you're shooting at friendlies!
Old Warlocks, check your six. Hill is hot. Repeat, the hill is hot.
What the...
Get him off me!
I got him!
Alpha, what the f*** is happening?
The hill's got me locked.
What's the...
Oh, Warlock! Evasive maneuvers! Hard burn now!
Churchill! Cease fire! Repeat, cease fire!
You got me lit.
God damn it, Bill! Hold your fire!
Incoming cyclones!
7 and 12, intercepting. They're on my 6. Can't shake them.
Churchill, what the hell are you doing?
Alex Blacktooth London's father was a decorated pilot, his grandfather a marine, like his father before him. As railgun fire tears his warlock apart, he looks to the picture of his son on his console and prays he will never be a soldier. Arwen Seeker Dayton joined Baytech Academy the day she turned 18. In return for 4 years' service, she was guaranteed fully paid tuition at a BT university. She wanted to study theater. Danielle Dorothy Page has sent several letters of protest to her commanding officer during the Carenza occupation. She has been keeping a record of her comrades' atrocities committed planetside in the hopes of revealing them to the press if she makes it home. She will not. Ezra Mason and Nicholas Malakoff barely notice the carnage being wrought behind them. Their Chimera rolls and sways. Two sister ships beside them, streams of hostile fire spewing into the void. The group weaves and dances, shepherding their charge ever closer to their target, their gift for the Magellan, the linchpin of their plan, the Mao's breaching pod. Inside the pod,
strapped into impact chairs and praying to various deities, are Hannah Donnelly and her strike team, Captain Winifred McCall, Donnelly's dojo instructor, Kim Rivera, Ben Garver, and the survivors of his Heimdall sec team, anyone with experience in hand-to-hand combat. Their battle will be up close and bloody.
Breach team, this is Mason. 30 seconds to impact.
Roger that, Ezra.
Close.
Be careful in there, Highness.
See you soon, Nick.
Closer.
10 seconds. Brace for impact.
Hold tight.
The pod strikes home. Breach charges exploding. Hull shredding. With a thunderous roar, they are inside.
Alert all hands. Alert all hands. Breaching pod impact in shuttle bay. Repeat. Breach in shuttle bay. Hostile boarders detected. All crew, equip munitions, secure CNC and engineering. All Magellan security personnel proceed to shuttle bay immediately. Repeat. Sec team to shuttle bay immediately.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 72130089.
The breaching pod must have cost the late Travis J. Falk a small fortune. The man clearly wanted to be prepared to enter a ship or station that wasn't inclined to open the door when he knocked. And boy, does this thing get the job done. The pod crashes through the Magellan's outer skin, the nose cone blasting off, the restraints that hold the troops in place automatically releasing with a quick hiss. Most of the occupants are still cursing as they scramble out into the shuttle bay, weapons up, fanning out in anticipation of resistance. But the inner bay doors have automatically sealed as the atmosphere vented into space, and the teams from the Mao are alone. For now. Hannah Donnelly keeps in step with Winifred McCall, and Ben Garver turns to help neurogramming student Michelle Dennis jump down from the pod, steadying her as she lands, knees bent like they told her. They almost look like a fighting force, clad in the black enviro suits of the Mao and the white ones of the Hypatia. Their ragtag volunteer army made a little sleeker, a little more uniform. Footage for this report is taken mostly from cams affixed to their suits, transmitted back to the Mao, in some cases even after the wearer was dead. Kim Rivera, who once ran the dojo on Heimdall and taught Hannah Donnelly some of her fancier tricks, runs forward to take a place by her protégé. Garver has Dennis by the shoulders, hurrying her through the crowd toward Hannah and Kim. Donnelly meets his gaze as he fetches up beside her, studying him through the IR lenses of her tactical armor. He stares straight back. Her eyes are narrowed. Then she blinks and snaps out of it. "See you on the other side, Fred," she says to her captain. "Good hunting," McCall replies. Donnelly, Rivera, and Dennis turn away. And, a few moments later, they're ripping the cover off the nearest vent. Kim and Hannah weave their hands together, and Michelle steps up, just like they practiced back on the Mao. They heave her up so she can grab the edge, and, with a kick, she disappears into the ventilation system. Donnelly jumps up and grabs at it with her fingertips, grunting as she pulls herself higher. Rivera follows, kicking the vent cover back into place. And then, they're gone. Meanwhile, the Mao crew has managed to override the shuttle bay doors. They pour out into the corridors of the Magellan, the doors grinding shut behind them once more, and the hissing wreckage of the breaching pod is left all alone. There's no way back now. No way out but victory.
Mao. Radio transmission, transport channel 001. Participants, Katie Grant. Systems Chief, Ezra Mason, Air Wing Leader, Nicholas Malikov, Gunner, Artificial Intelligence Defense Analytics Network, Ella Malikova, Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla, Date 09-05-75, Timestamp 09-28 hours.
Bridge, this is Mason, over.
I hear you, Ezra, go ahead.
Breaching pod is away. Repeat, breaching pod is away.
Okay. Ella and Aiden have the Churchill's railguns under control.
Madonna, it's like a fucking shooting gallery out here.
You can thank me later, cuz.
Remind me never to get on your bad side, little spider.
Do you honestly require a reminder of that, Nicholas?
Blow me, Aiden.
I do not respire. How can I blow...
Aiden, shouldn't you be working? And Nick, shouldn't you be shooting?
Way ahead of you. Let's go see this high school of yours, babyface.
Ella, how long can you maintain control of their batteries?
Their deckers haven't zeroed us yet, so a while.
Roger. Bridge, our cyclones have things under control up here. Chimera Group is heading planet-side to provide air support for colony ground troops. Over.
Okay. Please fly safe, Ez.
Always do. Mason out.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 72130089.
Down on the surface of Carenza 4, things are even more chaotic. Reports are flooding in about an enemy ship in orbit, an attack on the Churchill. There are only a couple of possibilities as to who owns that enemy ship, UTA or WUC. Doesn't really matter. Either way, it's bad news for a Baytech occupation force that's been engaged in acts of genocidal brutality for the past 7 months. But human rights abuses aside, the BT officers on the ground are still damn good at their jobs. Lieutenant Christie is like some old general from a history VR, striding among his troops, bellowing orders, setting up a counterstrike against the rebelling miners. Bruno Way's act of self-destruction has done its job. Vital supplies are missing, and what's left is stretched far too thin. But Christie doesn't flinch from the task at hand. The snow is falling heavy, the frost spilling from his lips as he roars, "Get those autoguns set up! Carter, get your squad up on those rooftops! Move those emplacements forward, goddammit! I said 200 meters!" Lindstrom sits with Oshiro, Carpadia, Markham, and a dozen other pounders in the back of an APC. They're near the makeshift bridge over the ice chasm on the edge of town. The whole crew is waiting for orders. Attack the mine, or set up a defensive perimeter in the colony itself. Christie is seeking the same confirmation. He's standing by the APC, hand cupping his ear as he shouts over the howling wind. "Churchill, this is Christie! We're going to need some birds down here. Stormfront means our sat-viz is for shit. And we need to know where these revs are moving." That's about when Aiden cuts communications to the ground. There's nothing dramatic about it. Just silence. Christie repeats his question, asks a fellow officer to confirm his suspicions, then spits into the snow. "God fucking damn it!" The lieutenant peers into the back of the APC, spots Lindstrom. "Hustler, there's something wrong with the comms. Haul back to the primary array and see if it's an issue on our end. We can't be deaf down here. Move!" Oshiro climbs to her feet. "I should go with him." "No, I need you here, Sergeant. Take Galanoza and Lou's squad 1 block north of the LZ. I want you setting up perimeter there. If these rebs are looking to get off planet, the only way out is up." Christie glances at Lindstrom, tattoo twisting as he snarls. "Are you waiting for a gold-plated invitation, rookie? Move your ass!" "Sir, yes, sir. I want you back with the squad as soon as you're done, Cherry," Oshiro warns. Lindstrom turns to look at his sergeant, expression hidden behind his helmet. "Yes, Sergeant." Then, he's off, pounding across the road and back toward the colony complex. The storm is coming down hard. Visibility is low, but a supersonic crack overhead signals the arrival of fighters in the grey skies above. Lindstrom looks up and sees Ezra Mason and his Chimera wing break through the clouds, begin a swift reconnoiter of the ground. There are only three ships, but with a dreadnought in orbit around the planet, Baytech never invested